Sprite Castle. Sprite Castle. Sprite Castle. With Rob O'Hara, Sprite Castle.
Hello and welcome to Sprite Castle, the show in which I play, discuss, and review Commodore 64 games. My name is Rob Flack O'Hara, and on today's episode of Sprite Castle, I will be discussing Pogo Joe, which was chosen as this episode's game by Patreon supporters like BPG, Petzl, and Scrap Arcade. If you would like to help pick the next episode or just support my podcast, head on over to patreon.com/Rob O'Hara and sign up today. Pogo Joe was published for the Commodore 64 in 1983 by Screenplay. It is a game for 1 to 2 players that uses joystick controls. Now, Screenplay is a company we have not discussed before on Sprite Castle. This game was published in 1983. However, this is one of the company's final releases. They released several other games, including Asylum 1 and 2, The Wild, and The Warriors of Roz. The only game they released after this one was a title called The Trivia Arcade, which is really a fun game. It is a combination. It's an arcade game where you have to play to choose what trivia questions you're going to answer. This game, Pogo Joe, was programmed by William Denman Jr. He programmed several other games of that era, including Sentinel from 1982. He also did Asylum 1 and 2. And he worked on Acrojet. He was also part of many of the Sid Meier's games. He programmed some of them, and he was a program manager on some of them. Those included Civilization, Colonization, CivNet, and Civilization 2. This game, in the credits, says it is based on a concept by David Handel, and I could not find any other information on David, but maybe he just said, hey, we should make a game that's similar to Qbert. In Pogo Joe, players must bounce from cylinder to cylinder while avoiding waves of enemies. Landing on top of a cylinder changes its color, and players must change the color of all the cylinders to advance to the next level. Again, if this sounds a lot like Qbert, that's because it is. Although, actually, this game is completely different, because in this game, you're on a pogo stick, and you're bouncing on top of cylinders instead of cubes. But yeah, it's pretty much Qbert. Pogo Joe was released at a time where games often included one set of instructions to cover every release of a game. So in the documentation for Pogo Joe, we get instructions on how to load the Commodore 64 version from disk, how to load the Commodore 64 version from cassette, how to load the Atari version from disk, and also the Atari version from cassette. Now, I wasn't able to find the original box to Pogo Joe, but I did find some interesting advertisements, and I assume that the same text that appears in the advertisements would also appear on the box. So this is some text from one of the ads I found. Screenplay knows what you want in an arcade game. You're looking for a game with a challenging goal and lightning response. You want colorful three-dimensional graphics and smooth animation. You expect excellent music and exciting sound effects. You want a state-of-the-art arcade-quality game to play on your computer. Pogo Joe, the next arcade game from Screenplay, offers all of these things and more. Joe rides his bouncing pogo stick across fields of cylinders, springing in time to his playful tune. Pogo Joe can change the cylinder colors, eliminate them, or even create them out of thin air. Uniquely animated creatures, from elephants to spinning tops, share each three-dimensional screen. Some help Pogo Joe get points, but others have less friendly intentions. 64 different screens will provide a lasting challenge to even the most dedicated arcade addict. Then at the bottom again, it says Atari and Commodore 64 disc and tape. Then it says joystick / trackball is needed. I can't imagine trying to play this game with a trackball, and I'm not sure if that's referring to the Commodore 64 version or the Atari version. I don't know anybody back in the day that actually owned a trackball for the Commodore 64. Maybe that was more popular with Atari computers, but anyway, it is mentioned right there in the notes. Once you load the game, we get a title screen. We get a picture of Pogo Joe, who looks like a young boy, riding on a pogo stick. And we also get the words, Pogo Joe. I don't understand who designed the font. This has always bothered me about this game. The letters are just weird. They're not lined up. They're very blocky. I don't get it. I really don't get the design idea behind that. Once we get past the title screen, we get to a menu where we get several options. You can choose number of players, one or two. We can choose the number of joysticks, one or two. If you only have one, it uses port two, which is odd. If you only have one, you would think it would be in port one. But you can also choose what level you want to start on, anywhere from level one to level 64. You can choose the speed that Pogo Joe moves from. It can be from 0 to 6, with 0 being the fastest. You can also choose the speed of the monsters, being anywhere from 0 to 6. And finally, you can select whether or not the monsters can do double jumps. That's a yes or no option. And we'll talk just a little bit about double jumps here in just a moment. When the game starts, we can see the screen, and what you will find is a series of cylinders that are lined up. Now, the way the cylinders are drawn, they look three-dimensional. So this game is very similar in operation to Q-Bert, except the cylinders are not laid out in the same pyramid style as Q-Bert. The cylinders are laid out in different configurations for every single level. Sometimes the cylinders are further apart. There'll be a gap, and that's when you need to perform a double jump. So a single or normal jump, which is done by moving the joystick, you know, up, down, left, or right, just moves you to the next cylinder. But if you hold down the fire button, you will perform a double jump. So you will skip one cylinder and land on the second one. Again, this is required in several of the levels where the cylinders are in different clusters, but there's a gap between them. So it's almost like, if you think of them like islands, and you have to perform a double jump to get from one set of cylinders to another. Now, one difference between this and Q-Bert is that Pogo Joe cannot fall off the cylinders. You can't jump off the edge of the screen like you could do in Q-Bert. So again, the controls, we talked about the joystick up, down, left, right. We talked about the fire button. If you press run stop, it will pause the game. And if you press run stop restore, that will reset the game. Now, I mentioned in the opening menu, you can set the speed of Pogo Joe between 0 and 6, but you can also do that in between levels. While the game is loading levels, if you hold down any of those numbers on the keyboard, 0 to 6, it will adjust Pogo Joe's speed for the next level. Now, playing Pogo Joe, like I said, I was kidding about it at the beginning, but essentially it is Q-Bert. It is the same game mechanism. You hop. These are round cylinders versus square boxes, but the idea is the same. You have to hop on each one and turn them all the same color. Just like Q-Bert, there are levels where there are the cylinders have to be changed color twice, so you have to jump on each one twice. You'll find enemies that change the color of the cylinders back to their original color. Again, that sounds like Q-Bert. You will also find some enemies that show up that will that you can catch for points. So again, most of the ideas from Q-Bert have been brought into Pogo Joe. There are a couple of new ideas, and one are black cylinders. And so on some levels, you will see two black cylinders, and they basically work like a transport. So they will transport you from one side of the screen to the other. So when you jump on one, it goes onto one, and you appear on the other. On levels where there are more than two black cylinders, they're not in pairs. If you jump on one, you will randomly appear on one of the other black cylinders. So that's a little bit different. In Qbert, we have these spinning discs that you jump off the pyramid, and Coily or whoever is chasing you will follow you off, and you will go back to the top of the screen. In this game, in Pogo Joe, you will see some of the cylinders have green on top of them, and those work the same way. When you jump on a green cylinder, it immediately vaporizes all the enemies on the screen. Another fun thing about Pogo Joe is that each level has its own title. So there are 64 levels. Each one has 64 names, and they're all puns or jokes. And they just it just adds a little bit something interesting to this game. So as you're going to the next level, it'll say, you know, level three. Or, you know, there's one. I think there's one that says, like, if you can read this, you are weird, but all the vowels have been removed. So it's just little goofy jokes like that. It's just enough for you to read, maybe get a little smile or a chuckle, and then the game moves on to the next level. There are some strategies that can be used in Pogo Joe. First of all, the enemies, as they appear, they show up on the playing field as eggs. And when they are eggs, you can, it says collect them, but basically you can grab them for points before they hatch into bad guys. So when you see, if you're near one, if you see eggs appearing, it's really to your benefit to grab those before they hatch, because some levels almost become impossible when so many enemies are on the screen, or when there's a small cluster of cylinders, like three or four, and a bad guy gets on that, it's almost impossible to jump to that area and clear those. So if you can grab them while they're eggs, you'll do better in the game. The enemies that change the cylinder's back colors, just like in Qbert, you can grab those guys, so you will get points from them. The enemies have different behavior, and so the more you play the game and you get used to it, you'll recognize what they look like and what they're doing. Some of them will run away from you. Some of them will chase you. Some enemies will just stay in one place. So again, you just got to kind of watch, you know, how they react. And the more you play, the more you'll recognize what they're going to do. One piece of advice I would give you is to avoid the green discs until you need them. It's different from Qbert in that aspect, because in Qbert, if you're going to jump on the spinning disc and try to eliminate Coily, you kind of have to go there, you wait, and then you jump off. So it's a very intentional act. You don't ever accidentally jump on one of the spinning discs in Qbert. But in this game, the green cylinders that erase all the enemies are just everywhere on the playing field. And so it's very easy while you're trying to clear a level to accidentally hit all the green discs, and then you won't have any left whenever you need them most to eliminate the enemies. I would say also learn how the double jump works. Of course, you'll need it to get to certain parts of levels, but it can also be used in retreating from enemies more quickly, especially if you chose the selection not to allow the bad guys to also perform the double jumps. Scoring is pretty simple. Each enemy you kill is 250 points, and extra Pogo Joes can be won at 5,000 points. So I think I got extra Pogo Joe once or twice, but it is a pretty challenging game once you start getting on the higher levels. Now, I did find an interesting trivia fact buried in another advertisement for the game. So the beginning of this advertisement says, a mutated Wonder Whisk whisks by. The spinning top almost topples him. Close, but Pogo Joe bounces back. Bouncing from cylinder to cylinder, screen to screen, Pogo Joe racks up point after point. But then it says at the bottom of the ad, what's ahead with Pogo Joe is $10,000. Simply tell us what magic word appears after Pogo Joe's 10th screen. If your name is drawn from among the correct answers, you'll win $10,000. Now, I wasn't able to find the name of who won that, and I'm not sure if the game shows the word if you just tell it to start on level 10. So I'm not really sure how that worked, but it sure would have been exciting as a kid to find out all I had to do was beat 10 levels of a game and possibly have the chance of winning $10,000. Speaking of $10,000, I'm about to spend some of it on a snack.
Crack, crack, crack the egg into the bowl. Crack, crack, crack the egg into the bowl.
Talking snack.
Welcome to the Sprite Castle Dining Hall. Today with me, I have Steve Rasmussen, Mitsuyama, and Graham Vebke. And boy, is everyone excited because my wife has put me on a diet. And so she is serving some of these low-carb, low-taste diet food she has been acquiring. And so in honor of the Q-Bert spinning disc and the tops of the cylinders in Pogo Joe, she has ordered pizza. But it's not just any pizza. It's pizza made with cauliflower crust. And it looks like there's just enough for Steve, Mitsuyama, and Graham to serve themselves. So I'm going to let them dive into this pizza. And while they're doing that, I'd like to tell you about a new contest that's going on right now that's hosted by the Amigos. I don't know if you'd, I guess you would call it a contest, but really what it is a pod jam. Now, I've never heard of a pod jam before, but I have heard of game jams. And game jams are designed to get a lot of people to create games in a short period of time, whether that's a month or 2 months. And it really benefits everybody because all those games at the end of the contest get released out into the wild. It's a really neat thing. And so what the Amigos have organized is Amigo Aaron's Pod Jam 2024. This is, as far as I know, the first Pod Jam that's ever been organized. And so how does this work? Well, if you're interested in participating in the Pod Jam, all you have to do is create a single episode of a podcast. It just needs to be a new podcast. So maybe you're someone who does a podcast now, and you've been thinking about starting a new podcast, or maybe you're someone who's been listening to podcasts for a long time and thought, hey, I've always wanted to try this, but I didn't know if anybody would listen to it or you know, if I should give it a shot. Well, you should give it a shot. All you have to do is go to this URL. I'll give it to you here at the end of this, and upload your episode, and there are going to be three judges that will listen to your episode. One of those is Neil, the host of This Week in Retro. If you've ever listened to that, he's also a founding member of the Retro Collective Museum. Another one of the judges is Ravi Abbott, the host of the Retro Hour podcast. And the third judge is me. I'm not sure how that happened. I guess they left the back door unlocked and I kind of snuck in. But all three of us will be listening to all the submissions. So we will score them and we will give you constructive criticism. But what's most important is that everybody at the end of this will get to listen to all the episodes. There's already a couple of episodes that have been uploaded and I'm actually thinking about doing one now. As a judge, I won't be able to score my own podcast, but just something to put, you know, ideas out there, just some fresh ideas for shows. So if this sounds like something you would be interested in, you could go to itch.io, that's itch.io/jam/podjam2024. So that's itch.io/jam/podjam2024. The deadline is the end of April, so put a show together. You don't have to plan out an entire show. You don't need a season or 20 episodes. Do one episode, upload it, and let's see what happens. By the way, there are some prizes. I think first place gets a $50 gift card, and second and third get $25 gift cards. So that might be a little bit of incentive, but I think the most important thing is just getting more podcasts out there. It doesn't have to be retro gaming related or computer related. It could be about anything you want. But if you've always wanted to try podcasting, this would be a great opportunity for you. So again, the URL is itch.io/jam/podjam2024. Go check it out. I see my guests over there are still looking at the pizzas. No one. Oh, no. You guys go ahead. No, I ate earlier. Yeah. I ate earlier. That's what it is. You guys go ahead and help yourself to the cauliflower pizza, and I'll get back to this episode about Pogo Joe. Now, Pogo Joe is a pretty early title. There weren't a lot of big reviews, but the ones it got were pretty positive. Lemon 64 has an aggregate score of 7.3. Computer Fun gave it 100%. Info gave it 80%. So it had pretty favorable reviews. The overarching review that I would say, or the thing that's in all the reviews, is that it's a whimsical game that has really good graphics. It has good music. It's really entertaining. So, it is. It's from that era where an arcade game would come out, and then there would be 50 copies of an arcade game. So, it's hard not to say that this is inspired by Q-Bert. But that being said, it's a really, really good version of that type of game. As I mentioned, as I saw in the manual, this was released for the Commodore 64 and the Atari. And if you're looking to own a copy, you can go to eBay, but make sure you put a very narrow search, like Pogo Joe in all quotes, or Pogo Joe Commodore 64, because as I was searching for copies, I mostly found G.I. Joe Cobra Pogo Ballistic Battle Balls, and there's also a garbage pail kid named Pogo Joe. So it took me a little bit to find copies, but I did find a complete inbox copy that sold recently for $41, and if you just want the disc, you should be able to get that for between $10 to $20. And now for my personal memories of Pogo Joe.
All right, time travelers! Seatbelt fastened?
Yes!
Get away to the past!
Memories!
I have a very specific memory of seeing Pogo Joe for the first time. Now, Pogo Joe came out in 1983. And this was probably 1984 when I saw it. My parents were still talking about possibly opening a computer store at that point, and we went to a large computer convention. So this was a gathering of people that were showing off computers, showing off software. I just think it was a convention. It was bigger than a computer club meeting. I remember it taking place like in a exhibit hall, like, you know, larger than a hotel room. It was, I just remember being very large. Of course, I was young, so I may not be remembering it exactly right, but one of the things I remember was I was walking around and I saw a man who had a computer set up, and on the computer was Pogo Joe. And so I got to play Pogo Joe for the first time at this center. And I didn't have a Commodore 64 yet, but I said something. And again, I would have been between 10 and 11 years old at this time. And I said something to the effect of, I sure would like to get a copy or download that game, which is something that we all did on home computers. I mean, was it against the law? Yes, it was breaking copyright, but it was literally something almost everybody did on home computers back in the 1980s. And I remember specifically getting scolded by this man. I remember him saying, you know, that's piracy. That's illegal. Like getting on to me, pointing his finger at me. And, when a grown-up, like I've had that happen a few times in my life. Like I remember that happening to me in grade school or middle school. Sometimes it happened to me one time in middle school. And it was an event that just really stuck with me. One of those times where your face gets red and you feel like the whole world is looking at you because an adult is getting onto you in front of other people. I never, ever forgot it. And that guy's name was George. He had also given us a business card, and the business card had his name, and I don't, maybe he was a software dealer or something, but he also ran a BBS, and his BBS number was on the card. And so I called his BBS, and then later I called it when I had my Commodore 64. I called his BBS, And after I'd been on there for a while, they upped my access and gave me access to the pirate section. So this guy was doing exactly what he got on to me for. He had an entire pirate section where people were uploading and downloading games. And I remember it just really made me mad. It really, what do they say? It stuck in my craw. It just really made me mad that not only, I mean, it was one thing to not do it or to do it, but to be a hypocrite about it and to get on to be in public in front of people was just really, really made an impression on me. That's the only negative memory I have associated with Pogo Joe. My positive memory is that this game looked so good. I remember playing this game and it felt like I was playing a cartoon. The graphics just seemed so three-dimensional and the character, Pogo Joe, just seemed so animated that I really enjoyed this game. You know, this game came out in 1983, which I believe is the same year Donkey Kong came out for the Atari 2600. So, I mean, if you compare the graphics between those two things, like, this just seemed worlds past a lot of other games. And so Pogo Joe is not a well-known game, but for those people that saw it, I think it probably sold a lot of Atari and Commodore computers back in the day. For graphics, I give Pogo Joe 5 out of 5 Pogo Balls. It looks absolutely amazing. It's like playing a little cartoon. For music, I'll also give it 5 out of 5. The level music is great, and there's music at the end of each level that's fun, too. The sound effects, I'll give it a 4 out of 5. They can get a little grating over time, but they are still pretty good, and you get sound effects and music at the same time on every level. Overall gameplay, I'm going to give Pogo Joe a 5 out of 5. Again, that's rating it at the time it came out. It is a Qbert-style game, and I don't want to take away from this game from that because it is a little bit different. It does have some unique things. It has the double jump. It has slightly, you know, different configurations. And as far as those type of games go, it is top-notch. It is definitely one you can load up, start playing, and have a lot of fun with today. Again for tuning in to Sprite Castle. If you have feedback about this or any episode of the show, you can always email me directly at robohara@robohara.com. Join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/robcast. Follow me on Twitter or Twitch at Commodork. Come chat with me on the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server or leave a message on my podcast hotline at 405-486-YDKF. Pogo Joe was selected as this episode's game by Patreon supporters like John, Motocar Schaller, Armadon Restel, and Scott Lambert. If you would like to help pick games to be featured on future episodes of Sprite Castle, read behind-the-scenes blog posts, watch weekly videos, get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server, and receive other additional perks, support tiers start at just $2 a month. To find out more, visit patreon.com/RobOhara. Sprite Castle is available on all major podcast providers, including the official Amigos podcast feed at anchor.fm/Amigos podcast. More details about all my shows are available at podcast.robohara.com. News and game details for Sprite Castle come from websites such as Commodore News, Indie Retro News, the Commodore Seed Database, Lemon 64, and Moby Games. Thanks again for listening. Now it's time for you to bounce, and we'll see you here next time on Sprite Castle.